Bang! How's fucking going? We got the man Biggs. He's coming to fucking set us straight. He's sick of all your garbage, all you fucking weaklings. I've been tuning into Biggs, listening to him. I'm pouring concrete. I'm working. I got the ears and I'm listening to Sensor TV. Biggs is screaming in my fucking ear. My boss is yelling at me. Biggs is fucking yelling at me. God help the bogan. How you going, brother?
Man, my voice is always hurting because I'm constantly yelling. I just want things to get normal so I don't have to yell at so many fucking retards all the goddamn time.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I mean, you literally have to wake up and it's just like, if I don't want to yell, I just cannot, I can't have conversations with anybody. If I see a glimpse of a fucking TV with news on, I'm going to have, my fucking blood goes up and I'm about ready to just snap. I mean, it's just complete and total bullshit. I mean, everything all day, every day is just a lie being forced down our throat and it fucking makes you angry.
Fuck yeah. And people like feed on the shit. I swear people have fallen in love with the fucking dark energy news and all the shit. They're like the perpetuators of it. Like it would probably stop if people would just get off the fucking hamster drip. You know what I mean? They love the shit.
I mean, Vice News just sat down with the guy that fucking killed Jay in Portland. And they interviewing the guy. They're airing it live. This guy's not behind bars. His sister's even turned his ass in. The guy's already got gun charges on him and all this shit. You got Nancy Pelosi saying a salon set her up. No, bitch. She's trying to be fucking Jussie Smollett 2.0. This bitch has just gone full retard. Everything is 1984 mixed with idiocracy. It's just fucking insane.
Fuck yeah. And this fucking dude who's there on Vice with he's got his Black Lives Matter fucking stamp of like burnt it in, and he's been fucking branded. He's got the mark of the beast tatted to his neck, that cunt. Like, what a fucking moron.
The first thing that's gonna happen to him when he goes to prison is he's gonna have to join a white supremacist gang and they're just gonna cut that fucking thing off of his neck with a fucking
all these fucking all these freaking Antifa losers, apparently they get locked up and they like go into the fetal position, they're like crying for their mummy and all this shit. Like, that's what I keep reading.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you have to understand, if you're going to go out there and live a life of crime, you're going to end up behind bars at some point in time. And when you guess what? When you go to fucking prison, it's black versus white. It's white versus black. White versus Hispanic. Hispanic versus white versus black. This whole thing, it's all divided by race. So all that shit that you guys think that you believe in, you're either going to be in the fetal position getting the shit kicked out of you all the time. You're going to be taking up the ass for some dude with a giant swastika on his fucking forehead. And that's just the poetic justice of it all. You're just sitting there, you're taken in the ass by some fucking Hitler youth guy.
Holy fuck. So like Sons of Anarchy's real. It's just not a fucking TV show.
No, it's prison.
It's like, so fuck, man. I think it was 2014. We went to America on a month-long holiday, and I swear we were like walking around the fucking shithole ghettos in the, you know, middle of the night, walking through parks drunk, and I had no drama, man. I had no fucking drama. Everyone was fucking good as gold, you know, like the homeless, the fucking all these cunts. And I just, maybe it's because like being an Aussie, they think you're like some fucking crocodile hunter cunt, so they'd just be like, oh, fuck, he's Australian. Like, I don't know, but people were good as gold to me, and it's like a lot has fucking changed. A lot must have changed.
Yeah. There's no more men anymore in this world, hardly. And, I mean, luckily we have a group like we have here, the Proud Boys and shit like that, where we can at least find some men out there with some fucking testicle fortitude to actually stand up to shit. It's just a pussification. I mean, they're indoctrinating our youth at such a young age to go into this whole gay agenda. You know, my mom's worked in the education system her entire life, and she's got friends who work at the lowest levels of education, you know, where they're like, you know, like 6-7 years old. And that's all they push is this fucking feminine. It's not good to be masculine. I mean, what fucking dude wants to fucking get with a chick with like hairy ass armpits, looks like you got buckwheat in the headlock, it smells like shit and yells all day, with fucking 900 piercings all over their face, you look like a goddamn fishing lure. And then the men, they're skipping around because their fucking pants are so tight that it's pushed all the testosterone out of their body, their nuts are shriveled up and going inside their body retreating, and they sit around and skip all day and fucking go shopping with other fucking chicks.
Fuck that shit. I swear this is the trick, bro. You got a free ball. You know what I mean? It's true. You can't be wearing tight ass pants and roasting your nuts every day. It's not good for you. I free ball everywhere I fucking go. Over a year now, I think I had like, as a concreter, dude, you wear like fucking board shorts everywhere. And I'm just free balling. I'm just like, fuck this. I'm not doing it. You got to keep them, your fucking ball sack at a fucking reasonable temperature. And I swear, all these simple things have got fucking something to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, cunts are fucking, like, I was raised by a single mother and she was emotionally driven. Her whole life was just, oh, the fucking sky's falling down, all this shit, just emotional stress. And I was just like, leave me alone. Like, great. My mom's great. She worries about everything. She would try wipe my ass. If she was here today, she would try to wipe my ass for me, like heart of gold. But I'm like, leave me the fuck alone, mum. And all these weak fucking gaylords that are growing up now, it's like they want everything done for them. They're like emotionally driven. Everything's a fucking big, the sky's falling down. And I just don't see it. I'm kind of grateful my mum raised me because I realize like I don't want to fucking be anything like you. I'm not going to live my life stressed out about every little fucking thing. And maybe that's what these people are. They're like emotionally fucked. Like they're emotionally fucked. It's an emotional.
Well, the women thing. Are always going to be like that. I mean, not all women, but, you know, especially the third wave feminist fuckers and those goddamn BLM Antifa people. But the men, they're just that way too, because their fucking nuts have shrunk. And I mean, you start becoming feminine, you start getting all that estrogen in your body. You start growing little man boobs and shit, have to wear those man bras, the man's ear, you know,
get out the fucking sun and go lift some weights.
Go get a fucking motorcycle, go get a can of tobacco, go drink a fucking beer, go pick up some fucking heavy shit and put it back down, pick it up and repeat until you look fucking swole. And fucking go out and fucking do manly shit, man. Go be a firefighter. Go build a fucking building. Go jump off of a plane or jump out of a plane. Stop sitting around fucking watching goddamn Gilmore Girls and Friends all day for the fucking 50 millionth time, you fucking pansy son of a bitch.
Fuck yeah. Here we go. MKOG. He said, proud of your boy Dusty and Biggs, the new WrestleMania tag team. There you go. Okay. I was thinking about it. I was like, this YouTube channel of mine can go anywhere. I was thinking of like going and joining. There's local fucking indie wrestling not far from here. I was like, I should just go and fucking rock up one time and abuse the fuck out of one of the wrestlers. And then this channel just descends into like wrestling.
I like wrestling. That's fun. I think that'd be cool. I got a buddy who's a bodybuilder. Not really a bodybuilder. He's like a men's physique champion. He competes in the Olympia and all that shit. But he does all that wrestling training stuff and trains with a lot of the WWE guys. And that shit's rough, man. I've watched some of his training videos, man. That shit ain't no joke. I mean, yeah, you already know the outcome beforehand. But those motherfuckers whip some ass, man. And they're sacrificing a lot. I mean, your body goes through some fucking torture.
Fuck yeah. And then like, I love seeing the old boys. Like some of these old cunts are like in their 50s now. And they're still having a crack, tough as nails. And the best thing about the wrestling is like the sledging and the banter. Like they're constantly just fucking putting shit on themselves. Like they can't even make it to the ring without abusing the fuck out of 10 people in the crowd. Everyone in the crowd's flipping the bird. Like what the fuck happened? Where did all them?
I wish that's how it could be in politics. I wish when they're up there spewing bullshit, then me as a member of the crowd could just jump up there and just start smacking the fuck out of people. Like Nancy Pelosi, shut the fuck up. Go blame someone else for it.
What's that fucking?
Oh, and by the way, Enrique just sent me a screenshot. He's watching right now. So hey, what's up, Enrique?
Yeah, I need to fucking get Enrique on here one time. I've been messaging him. I guess all the times are all fucked up. Now the bad aids is fuck my work. I'm only down to 3 days a week. So it's like Friday. It's my Friday. I'm 14 hours ahead of you. So I'm like Fridays and Mondays. Now I'm kind of like hitting up some people in America and just being like, let's fucking do it. I'm finally getting my shit sorted out.
Is it like 9 or 10 in the morning there?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. I'm already doing shots. I was like, oh, I've got to have a beer with Biggs. And last night I did my Thirsty Thursday. So I finished all my beers. I run out of beers. I woke up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just get beers in the morning. And the fucking, the local bottle shop, it used to be 24 hours, right? And the cunts have fucking changed brand. You know, they've been rebranded. And now it's like they're only open, I don't know, 6-15 hours a day. So I rock up. I rocked up just before and I'm like, fuck. When the fuck
like the liquor stores here are open from, I think from like 10 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon. That's it. So you get a few hours a day to grab something. And it's never like at that time of night when you really need something because you fucked up and forgot to get it during the day. So you're you're drinking like the nastiest shit with like hardly any alcohol in it.
And I'm drinking my moonshine I make. I'm lucky I still got some fucking left. Like, yeah, I got me fucking. This is my moonshine. It's full of the wood chips in there.
There we go.
So it's almost done. And the fucking Proud Boy stickers, people see them up. We went the other day to there was like a lefty protest, and we rocked up, and there was all the Antifa stickers fucking everywhere. So we had to cover them up. We had to help the people of Brisbane out, show them the right way. God bless you, Biggs. This one's for you, brother. I got my Bubba Gump. I got this one when I was over in America too. You.
Nice.
That's some good shit. I love that moonshine. I used to be a pretty hard alco when I first joined the Proud Boys, eh? Like, was it on 3 years ago? Uh-huh. I joined and I was just fucking, was drinking my moonshine like out of control, just necking bloody moonshine, homebrew beers. And I was a bit of a mess a few times. The boys
don't know how to make is mushroom juice.
Mushroom juice.
Oh, yeah.
What's that like to trip out or what?
Yeah, this shit's fucking awesome. No, I remember when I was a kid, there's a place in the middle of Florida where I live. It's just like all pastures and shit. Me and my buddies would take a giant black hefty bag, those big giant, you know, industrial strength trash bags. And we would go fill all three of them up and bring them back to my house, lay them out and to dry in the sun and then eat them like chips, put salt on them. Or we would take some and then make juice with it and shit like that. And I remember this one time, my mom, she's from South Carolina, so she loves sweet tea. And there was sweet tea in the fridge. And then I put in another one, don't drink this tea, mom. And she wasn't paying attention to pour that shit in there. I was like, mom, you're going to have an interesting next 8 to 10 hours. She's like, what? Oh, I was like, that's my mushroom juice. And she was fucking flipping out. But I've never seen that old lady giggle so much in my entire life, man. It was hilarious.
Fuck,
just drank some weather, man. We just tripped out, watched snowboarding videos and shit.
That's good as gold. I reckon I'm like fucking, I reckon I do bad enough on alcohol, let alone trying any fucking weed was enough for me. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, I used to smoke that weed every day from like 13 to 17. And I was high for like 5 years, bro.
I never liked it.
And then I just was like, I got to the point where I was like, oh, we had a mate who he was like dying of cancer and he grew all this weed. And then he's like, yeah, go down, check out my weed plants. And they're just like, he had a field of weed plants, man. And he's like, yeah, just take what you want. I just ripped a plant up. I smoked this whole plant this must have been when I was 16. I smoked the whole plant. By the time I finished that plant, I was like, I'm done. I'm done with weed. Like, I'm never going to smoke weed again. I just smoked myself out of interest in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bought weed not too, like, I don't know, maybe like a year ago because I was having some really bad back problems. So I was like, all right, before I go to bed, you know, I'll smoke something. And that shit's still sitting there for a whole year. It's like a fucking big ass bag, but now it's just dried up so hard. I was just like, I did it that one time and I was like, eh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I just fucking threw it away.
That's it. I stick to the beers because I'm fucking, I think my brain is just like transcended into that fucking, probably that like realm that you get when you take the mushrooms. I feel like my brain's already like buzzing around that fucking verge of transcendent reality.
Says I'm a dangerous drunk because you can't tell if I'm drunk. Like my demeanor never changes. I'm always very cool, calm, and collective. I don't change. I might get – the only thing is, if you're smart enough to pick up on, is I do get a little bit louder. My voice will definitely go up. There's something with that alcohol makes you your volume go up. But you can't even tell. Like, bartenders are like, they'll fucking feed me 20 beers and 20 shots, and they're like, wow, how do you keep going, you know? And I'm just walking a straight line and shit. You know, I could fucking start breakdancing. You wouldn't even know.
Nice.
I'm weird.
That's fucking good as gold.
But I'm 36. Yeah, 36 now, and I'm just now starting to get, like, hangovers. This is the first time I've ever really had them. It's been, like, in the last few months.
Yeah.
I've never had them my entire life until now.
I reckon I've had fucking hangovers my whole life, but when I was, like, drinking every day, I'd be going concreting and I'd just be necking, like, you know, I don't know, 10 beers every night, wake up, 4 in the morning, go concreting, just, like, nothing.
I mean, I drink almost a case of water a day, so I think that kind of helps me to not be so much, to be so fucked.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, being in the Proud Boys, my alcohol fucking out of control drinking has, like, fully stabilized. Probably because I'm around, like, good as fucking guys. They're like, we got a mixture of young and old people in my chapter. So we got, like, dudes in their 50s, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And it's like, they're just good role models. You wouldn't really think, like, you wouldn't really think that joining a drinking fraternity, you know what I mean? That you'd think you'd be like fucking increase your alcoholism, but it's kind of had like the reverse effect on me for some reason.
Well, I mean, I don't even have anybody close to me. Like, everybody in my chapter are 30, 45 minutes away, you know? So I only see them like maybe once or twice a month. But I live in Daytona Beach, Florida. This is like the home of NASCAR and motorcycles. I mean, this is like where everyone rides. It's like one of the biggest bike areas there is. So everything is bike bars. But I mean, I don't even drink anywhere near as much as I did in the Army. In the Army, was you would drink
like water
as soon as you get off work, and you wouldn't stop until the next day when PT started, like 6 in the morning. You'd be coming in the cab covered in glitter from being at a strip club. All of you guys are running back to the rooms, right past First Sergeant, going up to the barracks, putting clothes on. Some of the guys are throwing up, and then we'd all go to formation and we'd be leaning shoulder to shoulder to keep the two soberest guys on the end to hold everybody up. And First Sergeant's coming in and fucking, he's like, I smell goddamn alcohol. Get on the fucking ground. And then we start doing push-ups. And then of course everybody throws up. And then he takes us on like a 12-mile run.
Fuck.
Yeah. And then we just do it over and over again. Never learned.
Yeah. Never learned. That's right.
No, just get drunk and trained to kill all day.
That's fucking sick, dude. So, like, what's going to happen with this fucking Portland rally? That's got to be, like,
Like I said before the show started, you know, there's still some wiggle room with some stuff we're going to talk about. We got a lot of planning and meetings to do. I understand there's a lot of people out there with concerns of how this could affect stuff. I mean, we're coming up to an election time. November 3rd is right around the corner. And everyone's saying that, you know, by us going, that could hurt Donald Trump's chances. I don't really believe that because if you look at Sleepy Joe or Joe Hyden, that's what Trump calls him now, Joe Hyden, because he's always hiding in his goddamn basement like a little fucking retard. No one shows up to his events. And they're all being given staged questions asked like that. People are showing up in droves to see Trump. I mean, I was just a part of the world's largest boat rally ever. It was a pro-Trump boat rally. It was fucking insane. I mean, the love for him. Right now it's truck week. Just started today in Daytona. It's nothing but giant jacked up monster trucks. And every single one of them has Trump flags on it. I mean, it's just insane. I mean, there is way more excitement, way more enthusiasm for this man than there is that other motherfucker.
I am a fucking loser.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not worried about that happening. The only thing I get worried about is, look, they've gone from, you know, throwing trash cans and screaming at the sky, and we get cool clips to make funny memes out of, to arson, to burning down buildings with people inside. Brutally attacking people and now executing and murdering, it's escalated quite a bit. So, you know, with that being said, we've got to really be smart. We have to be realistic. We have to put our pride aside. And you've really got to look at the facts and make sure that we have a really good, sound, safe plan. Because my biggest fear is one of my guys getting hurt. That would fucking kill me for the rest of my life. I would be done. I don't want to see anything bad happen to any of my people. But I do want those guys to get angry, and I want them to act a fool. And what we do want is just the mere presence or the naming of this event that Mayor Ted Wheeler of Portland will do his fucking job. They'll actually bring in police. They'll actually bring in the National Guard. And if not, Trump can enact the Insurrection Act or whatever, and bring in and federalize these National Guard so they do their fucking job. That's what we want. I want to see a restoration of law and order there. And I quite honestly, you know, what I pray for every day is that I wake up and they have dragged him out of his fucking house and his own people, his own criminals that he lets fucking run around in the middle of the night and shoot and kill people, just gets the fucking shit kicked out of him by those same fucking thugs that he's allowed to run around. I just want to see that happen. I hope they beat the fucking living shit out of him, take him out of there. We're not going to do it.
Mindless losers, aren't they? Like, surely the African Americans are waking up to the fucking Antifa.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Meetings. Like, yeah, they're fucking waking up. Like, even over here, I mean, I used to be a youth leader for 8 years and volunteer on a Friday, and most of my kids were like Aboriginal or Pacific Islanders and shit. And we had Black Lives Matter protests over here, right? And all the boys, they message me. They're like, are you coming, Dusty? Are you coming along? Because, you know, they fucking know I film shit and interview cunts. And I was like, look, brother, I'm not going. The fraternity's saying we're not getting involved, so I'm just staying out of this one. And the youth boys, they were like, I said to them, like, any cunt wearing all black, you fucking stay away from them because they're commie scum. And they'll fucking have you boys, you know, and encourage you boys to throw a rock through a fucking window, and they'll see your ass dragged off to fucking jail, and they'll create this big fucking thing while their fucking rich buddies bail them out of fucking jail and pay for their fucking legal fees. And I was like, just stay away from them fucking cunts all dressed in black, all these commie anti-fa cunts, right? I was like, just stick to the Aboriginals, find some of the Christians who, you know, might be there for a moral reason, you know, because I'm sure some people are there for, you know, at the beginning there were people there and there was maybe a kind of something sincere about it, you know what I mean? But now it's just gone fucking to the toilet. All my youth boys, my Aboriginal boys, are like, we love you, Dusty, thanks man for fucking, you know, always looking out for us, love you mate, like, cheers. And like, I was like, good. And they said, the boys were like, I've seen all the shit happen in America. I see these communist cunts throwing bricks and windows and making it something more than it needs to be. They're all fuckheads. And I was like, thank goodness my youth boys have got eyes to see through the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wish more people could see through the shit here right now, but unfortunately they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated through the education system for the last 30 years. I mean, it's slowly started when I was a kid. And now it's just gone full fucking retard, aka Nancy Pelosi or Jussie Smollett. It's insanity.
They're looking for something to blame. You reckon, like, the whole thing is, it's like they're tapping into the fear mechanism of the brain. Like, there's a natural amount or natural response to shit, and you go, it's either fear or like rise to the occasion. And they're just tapping into like the weakest link of the mind. It's like fear porn, it's guilt complexes and fear mentalities, and it's all this bullshit. And they're like, oh, fucking, I'm a victim. Or
no one's taught to earn. No one's taught to work hard. Everyone's taught that, hey, if you can't do it because you're just not physically able to, or you're fucking stupid, or you're lazy, or you're too ugly or too fat to dance. Like, look, you're not a dancer if you're in a wheelchair spinning around. Like Gavin said in his video this one time, he's like, you're not a dancer. You're a dude in a wheelchair holding a chick's hand who's dancing her ass off, spinning around in circles. You know, you're not a dancer. So just come to the conclusion that when you become paralyzed, you'll no longer be a dancer. So just get over it. Go find something else you can be good at, like roller basketball or some shit, whatever that fucking shit is. You know? And if you're fat, you're not a health expert. You're a fucking obese. And you're literally borderline about to die because you have made horrible decisions your entire life. Yes, there's this very small, minute amount of people out there that have disorders. They just got fucked. They're going to put weight on. But you can still slow that shit down. You can eat right and not be a fucking fat ass. But no, I don't want to see you on the cover of fucking Playboy magazine when you got more fucking chins than a Chinese phone book.
Fuck yeah. I seen this dude at church like 2 weeks ago, and he's in his fucking wheelchair. And my pastor, Matt, he's like, oh, and we've got – whatever the guy's name is, He's like, this dude's a fucking champion representing Australia in the Commonwealth Games for fucking basketball and boxing and all this shit. And they're like, good on you, mate. And everyone's just like, yeah. And then I went and chat to him. And he's like, yeah, yeah, they told me, like, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And then I was like, fuck this, I'm going to a boxing gym. Started hitting the bag. Got another bunch of wheelchair dudes coming. Now we're punching each other in the face. We're playing basketball. The cunt's like going around to disabled schools, preaching to the kids, being like, you can fucking do something with your life. I'm going to interview him. I'm going to take my freaking me shit to church and I'll interview this dude. And I was like, fuck, brother. I was like, I can't believe that, like, all the whinging cunts on this earth who have got, you know, pretty much we've got functioning bodies compared to this guy who's got cerebral palsy. You know what I mean? And this dude is just like fucking sitting there in his chair, like fucking telling me to pull, you know, oh, yeah, anyone can fucking do it. You can fucking have a crack. He's like, I believe I'm going to walk one day. I'm trialing some experimental fucking shit. There's new shit coming out every day. He's like full optimistic.
I mean, that's okay to have hope. I mean, look, that's great. It's have hope. But, yeah, you know, it's like, that's it. It's hope, you know.
But he's doing something with what he's got because it's all about what you do have. You know what I mean? Like, remember the story of the talents in the Bible? And he's like, the rich dude gives them one talent and then another dude two and another dude three. And he's like, goes away and he comes back a year later and goes, what'd you do with it? One dude's like, yeah, I invested it, got this amount. The other dude's, oh, I invested it, got this amount. The other guy goes, oh, I just fucking, I was a bit worried and thought you were stingy and I hit it and I did nothing with it. And he's like, get the fuck away from me. You breaks God's law. It's like, it's not about what you don't have. It's using what you do have, whether you're a fucking, you know, there's things you can improve in life, but fuck, if you're a fat cunt and you got injuries, go get a job sitting behind a desk. Go fucking do something. There's always something you can do.
Yeah, you can just always be realistic. And I shouldn't have to fucking watch the degeneracy of, like, no, these are skinny models. I'm like, no, they're not. And they're all going to fucking, they're going to die younger than all of us because they're not staying healthy. Maybe we should talk about health with them.
Yeah, you know, I wonder when they like prick their finger with the diabetes, because my missus has got that like gestational diabetes. So we're about to have our firstborn son, right? And then she was like, just fucking, the kid's growing big. So like, maybe you got gestational diabetes, do the test. She's pricking the finger and doing the blood test. And she's like under every time. But I wonder if these like fat fucks who like do the diabetes test and they're like, oh, fuck, I've gone over, and they're like, shit, I need to do something to change this. I can't just eat garbage and fucking lollies and chips and ice cream and fucking kill myself. Like, look at the fucking thing. Look at the little thing you're pricking your finger with, and it's telling you, you need to change. You need to do something to improve your life. It doesn't, whinging like a bitch does nothing. Like, doing is what you need to do something. You need to change.
Here in America, we have, you know, the U.S. Army, the Marines, the Navy, Air Force, and all that shit. And then apparently there's something called the Coast Guard. I don't even know if that's real or not. In the Marines, they put out an article of MarineTimes.com says that America is lacking in black general leadership. Well, there are black generals, but they're not a four-star general, I believe. You know, just because you haven't seen one doesn't mean that it's because of racism. Maybe just one of them hasn't wanted to. Maybe some people get out when they get to three. But there's just always this constant push, because even in jobs and in schools, my mom has to go through a quota of people that she can allow into the school. And some of those people have to be minorities. They strictly can come in and get in over another student who's highly qualified. But because they're black, they get to go in. And then even if their record's bad, their grades are bad, which means they're going to fail, and they're wasting all that time and money on that individual. You fucked over someone else who's put in the hard work to do it. And I'm just sick and tired of seeing that shit every fucking day. Oh, yeah, we're hiring people, but we're only looking for people of color. Like, how about you look at people and you look at their work ethics and look at and see how that individual is. Do they show up on time? Do they have a good attitude? Do they bust their ass? Are they highly motivated individuals? Are they great at learning? Are they great at being leaders? Are they great at cohesive manner as a team and carrying on, job related duties as a team together? Do they have fucking a vehicle that can get them to work that's good, that works all the time, that's not constantly broke down? Are they in a bad, abusive relationship? There's all these things that factor in to make people good candidates, and we're just throwing people fucking jobs in free school because they happen to be black.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. When I finished school, I didn't go to school, man. I could barely fucking spell. I did shit at school, right? And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm a loser. I snapped my tendons in my leg playing rugby. And my foot was like, fucked. I had like a crow foot like this for 3 years. And I finished school. I was like, you know what? My leg's fucked. I did shit at school. And I was like, I just find the shittest job I can. Worked in a factory. And it was fucking good, man. I was like, went from thinking, oh, I'm no one. Oh, fuck. You know, negative thoughts. I thought, fuck it. Find the shittest job no cunt wants to do then. Have a go. And next minute, no one wanted to do that job. We're doing 70 hours a week, making fucking thousands of dollars a week because no one wanted to do that job. And I thought I was fucking, oh, fuck it. Oh, I can't do fuck all. I'll just get a shitty job doing ceiling insulation. You know how they spray that shit in people's roofs? It's the shittest job on earth, man. Putting ceiling insulation bats in the fucking roof. Covered in fiberglass. I was like, yeah, I'll just do that. But next minute, I'm making $1,500 a week as an 18-year-old. I was fucking partying, drinking piss every night, saving up money. Next minute, after 12 months of it, I'm like, built my confidence up. I'm like, fuck yeah, I can have a fucking go. I've got a fucking great work ethic. Get my ass up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning, get home at 6 o'clock at night. And like, any cunt can do that. Like, even if you think you're shit, just do the shittest job. Go find the shit job no cunt wants to do, and you might surprise yourself. You know what I mean? I don't know why these cunts even would bother going to university. Like, how the fuck did this bogan find so much success in life? Go become a concreter. Every time we have cunts rock up to concreting bigs, we have like cunts with tattoos on their face. No fucking teeth in their head. They'd be like, can I have a job? And you'd be like, yeah, mate, no worries. Start right now. We don't give a fuck. We do not give a fuck. As long as you rock up, you're not intoxicated, and you're there every fucking day, you can have a fucking go. But the problem is these cunts, oh, it's a bit hot. It's a bit dirty. Some fucking Italian cunts screaming at you all day long.
It's like 100 fucking 100 degrees during the day here, sweating balls off, 95% humidity. I got triple S, man. That's called the sweaty sack syndrome. That's where you're so fucking sweaty, your nut sack sticks to the fucking side of your leg like a goddamn fruit roll up.
Yeah.
And I ride a fucking crotch rocket. So I'm sitting there, I got my junk all up in my leg, glued to the side of it on top of the steaming hot fucking gas tank. It's hot.
You need to fucking free ball it, Biggs.
Rufio, what's up, dude?
I have no fear.
Rufio's watching.
Where the fuck are you seeing that?
He just wrote me on Telegram, said he's watching.
Oh, there you go. We should bring these guys on. If they're tuning in on the Telegram, we can bring cunts on, but maybe I won't. So tell me the story, right? You started at InfoWars. Is that right, Biggs?
Yeah. So long story short, I was one of my deployments. It was summer 2008. I was in Afghanistan. I had a war journalist embedded with my unit. His name was Michael Hastings. Him and I kicked it off, I don't know how to put it, but we were just like best friends. Like we were like connected in a spiritual way. Like when him and I both met, it was like we were destined to fucking be friends forever. Like everything that he said, I agree with everything, vice versa. And we just had the same motivation and passion. And he was like, man, he's like, you're really good on camera. He goes, if you ever decide to get out of the military, he goes, give me a call and I'll get you a job doing journalism stuff, like being on camera.
Yeah.
So.
And that was straight up to InfoWars. Bang. You're in.
Yeah. Well, kind of. No. So I was doing Fox and stuff like that. Fox News. I was going on. Yeah. I was going on doing shit like that. And then Michael died. And I went on Fox again, and I'm sitting there, and Megyn Kelly's saying, oh, you sound like a conspiracy person. And I've, at this point in my life, I've never heard of conspiracies. I've never heard of InfoWars. I've never heard of Alex Jones. The only conspiracy shit I could ever think of would have been like the, you know, Kennedy assassination or some shit like that. Like, that's not something that people in my family did. We were all fucking soldiers or Marines. You know, you grow up, you join the military, you kick ass, and you love America, and you fucking have fun and enjoy your life after you get out. Or you die when you're in combat, you know? But that's what we did, you know? And he died. Megan's calling me this fucking conspiracy guy and trying to ridicule me, and I'm just trying to maintain my composure and not fucking flip out on this bitch on live TV while millions of people are watching. And I get a call the next day, and it's like, hello? I'm like, yeah. Hey, Joe Biggs? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, this is Alex Jones. Infowars.com, you probably heard of me. Just want to know if you want to come on the show sometime. And I was like, who the fuck is Alex Jones? What's InfoWars? And then all of a sudden the phone hangs up. Like, he, like the motherfucker got offended. Damn. And I didn't know who he was. Like, I'm sorry, dude. I don't know who the fuck you are. About 10 minutes later, I get another call, and it's Rob Dew, the nightly news producer. And he's like, hey, dude. He goes, look, Alex really likes you. Saw you on TV. Thinks you're a cool dude. He goes, here, I'm going to send you a YouTube link to a video. If you like the video, come on the show. If you don't, you know, fuck it. Don't worry about it. You know, no hard feelings. It's like, all right, cool. So he sends me this video clip, and it's him chewing out fucking Piers Morgan. He's like, 1776 will fucking commence again if you try to take our fucking firearms. And I saw that, and I got a goddamn war boner. I was like, man, this is awesome. I was like, let's fucking go. So I fucking immediately called back Dew, and I was like, all right, I'm fucking down. And that turned into, you know, Skype interview, until eventually Alex and I became friends. And I still didn't know who the guy was. I didn't watch the show. I don't really listen to radio and anything like that. I just like to listen to Metallica and Slayer and shit like that and fucking rock out. But he asked me to come down to Austin. And I get down to Austin. I'm staying with him. They put me up at this nice fucking hotel. And he takes me wake surfing. And he's like, hey, you know, what do you think about doing maybe some reporting for me? You know, since you're used to dangerous stuff, you could go out in the field and cover things. And I was like, you know, yeah, we'll see, you know. And I'm just getting out of the Army. I'm going through this transition of going from military life and structure and a, you know, brotherhood to depression, suicide, PTSD. I hate my life. I don't have my family anymore, because when you're in the military, that becomes your family. That becomes everything. Those are your fucking people. And that's thicker than blood. You know, the love I have for those dudes, and I've still keep in touch with all the ones that are alive. You know, that's thick as blood. And, you know, when I lost that, when I got out and I got hurt and I had to medically retire, it fucking destroyed me for the longest time. I mean, I went through years of massive depression and fucking putting a gun in my mouth, wanting to blow my head off. And, you know, I got that job, and that saved my life. I mean, I really needed to find something else that was going to keep me in a structured environment where I had deadlines to meet. And that's another thing that's good about that. That's what these young guys, this young men today don't understand, that when you have structure, when you have goals to achieve, that gives you a sense of responsibility, which gives you a sense of accomplishment, which also makes you happy. And when you come home at the end of the day and you've done your job and you've succeeded and you've done the best you could, that clears your mind, clears your soul, and gives you an ability to think better, be happier, you know, and really just enjoy life. And all I had was my head. I was stuck in my head for the longest time. So when I got that job, it saved my life, literally. And I went out, man. I was like, you know what? This is my new family. This is my new fucking team that I will fucking do anything for. And, you know, so I started going in, doing like the Ferguson shit. I became addicted. I would like, Alex is like, it's too goddamn dangerous. Just get out of there. Get out of there. Come back. I was like, no, I don't want to fucking leave. I was like, I'm staying out here until this fucking shit's over. I was like, you send me out here to fucking report on. I don't care if everybody else wants to leave. I'll be here by myself, but I'm not fucking leaving. Yeah. We're getting this shit. You know, and I became like massively fucking addicted to it. I mean, the adrenaline rush of being in the middle of a riot when you're like the only white guy by himself and everyone's shooting at you and there's Molotov cocktails being thrown over your head and riot police are fucking shooting goddamn beanbag rounds at you. It's intense, man. Like, because when you go from combat to having, you know, war boners all day and you're fucking dick so hard because you got so much fucking excitement happening in your life, it's just like you just want to fucking run around with it and go, ah, you know, and just you're so fucking intense. You know, so I finally found that again. And I was like, yes, this is like a fucking drug, you know? Fuck, so that's why, like, I have that, like when I'm happy, I always seem like I'm fucking angry. It's just, I'm not angry. I'm just fucking excited because I'm ready to fuck shit up in a good way. Yep.
Fuck yeah, that's fucking awesome, bro. What an inspiration. And then, like, so you've gone, you worked at fucking InfoWars, and then how did you find the Proud Boys? Or was this just like...
Yeah, I was in Austin, Texas. They were having a big meetup there, and it was me, Kyle Chapman, Andrew Duncan, which is Black Rebel, a whole bunch of guys. There's the local chapter. I think it could have been like a large, I can't remember. There was a few groups there, but there was about 25 or 30 of us. And, you know, they kind of brought me in. They're like, oh, you know, we want you to be part of this. And I went out there and I never eat cereal growing up. I didn't know anything about cereal. My dad did cereal for faggots. You know, he's like, Marines don't eat fucking cereal. We eat fucking blood. You know, we don't fucking do this shit. You know, if you're fucking hungry in the morning, do some goddamn pushups, Roger. You know, so I'm sitting there for 10 minutes getting the shit kicked out of me because all I could think of was fucking Cheerios. It took forever just to get cereal out of there. I'm just sitting there like my ribs are cracking and shit. Kyle Chapman's fucking just this dude, if you've ever seen him in person.
Yeah, like fucking a basic giant man.
Fucking like beast. You know, whenever you think you're big or you've gotten in shape, just go and then see him and then you'll be fucking humbled.
Is he really a rig? Is he that fucking
stupid? No, like he was big then. And then I saw him 2 years ago in San Francisco when I was speaking at a rally out there, and he had dwarfed in size, like doubled in size. It was insane. Like, and his voice, he's like, what's going on, Joe? And I was like, Jesus Christ, Kyle, chill. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, his arms are just so fucking big again. I was like, this guy's out of control, dude. He's just going to fucking rip people's heads off.
That's fucking mad.
But yeah, they, you know, got me in, and, you know, from there that was it. You know, I found another brotherhood in a sense. And, you know, I wasn't really involved with them as much at first, because I was obviously doing the InfoWars stuff. But then when I got out, when I left there, and took some time off.
Did you fall out with someone, or like, did you fall out with Alex Jones or anything like that, or what?
Yeah, you got to think, him and I are both alpha guys. Everybody that works there, for the most part, knew who he was a fan of him, and have this way of looking at him. They look up to him as, you know, like this guy. I just knew him as a dude named Alex, and him and I got to know each other as equals in a sense. Like, he wasn't this guy that I saw on TV and I, you know, fucking had this, you know, like man crush on or something like that. He was just a dude that was another dude who liked to yell like I did. We both liked to fucking shoot shit. We liked to drink and fucking scream all day, you know? So it was like, it was just like a match made. But having that mentality of two guys working under the same roof, we would just be yelling, you know, a lot of us
headbutting each other.
Oh yeah. I mean, and it's just, I know that's a major part of all that, because, you know, at the end of the day, you can't have all that going on. And a lot of people don't understand that that's just part of my nature, you know.
I reckon that's like concreting, man. Like, when we're pouring concreting and we're all fucking screaming at each other and like fucking, and it's hot as fucking, the boss will be fucking yelling. We're all fucking like, fuck you, cunt. But at the end of the day, we're just like, eh.
Gives it. I mean, I can scream all day long at somebody, like if we're working. And then as soon as we're done, it's it. Like, I'm not screaming at people to be a dickhead. It's usually to fucking motivate you. But also forget, too, not everybody likes that. Like me, when I get a trainer, when I go to the gym, I want the biggest, scariest motherfucker who will yell at me and demean me and fucking pick up that fucking 100-pound dumbbell, you fucking faggot. I will beat your fucking ass. I'm like, yeah, fucking keep fucking calling me names. Kick me. Come on. Ah. You know, like, that shit gets me fucking motivated. You know, so when I talk to people sometimes, they don't get that I'm just really trying to get you fucking motivated because you're being boring and lame.
Yeah. And like, Alex is fucking the uniquest bloke out on earth. But, you know, I'm sure you've moved on from that, and I'm sure you, whatever.
My happiness is at an all-time high. Me and Gavin don't yell. Me and Gavin have debates. Sometimes Gavin doesn't quite agree with some things that I say, or, you know, things like that. But then I will give him a breakdown of why I'm saying this or why I chose to do something. And he always goes, you know what? You make really good points. You know, I'm with you, you know? So, you know, it's a much less stressful environment. I'm way happier. I have more control over what I get to do. And it's a lot more fun. So I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm good. I'm happy. I like everything that's going on, and That's good.
And how long you been with Censored TV then?
At the end of this month will be 1 year exactly.
Nice. And so it was like InfoWars, you joined the Proud Boys, then you left InfoWars. Did you do anything in between, or was that a clean like jump?
I was doing some stuff with this guy, and I'm not going to name names, but it turned out to be a big scam, and I kind of got screwed over on some shit. That guy made bank on me, and I never got to see a penny. So I took some time off, and just like always, I've always found ways to make money and, you know, get by. And Gavin reached out to me, and he goes, I like the shows that you're doing. He goes, why don't you come on this new network I'm creating and do that with me? He goes, I'll pay you this or that for whatever you do. And, you know, if you don't want to be
here, you must have been one of the first guys on Censored TV.
Yeah. It was me and Milo and Gavin, I think.
Yeah.
And then Soph came in. And then after that, it's just fucking, you know.
And I guess your, I find like your show, are you putting out more content than the other guys? Because I'm following it and I seem to get drawn to your stuff.
It's all about the thumbnail, and it's also the titles too. I've learned the trickeries of psychology when it comes to drawing people in with that. That's like one of the key elements to get people to click on your shit over other stuff.
Yeah.
That's an
art. You got me on the hook. I've been tuning in. I've been like, yeah. But I try to check out the other shows because I've been listening to them as well, and I find it like really good. So it's like good quality shit for, I don't know, I think it's $15 a month or something in Australia.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like, I, you know, I was trying to think of the direction I wanted to go with it. And at first I was thinking, you know, I'll do like military shit. And I did that. And I was like, well, not everybody's in the military. Not everybody gets what I'm saying or anything like that. So I don't want to alienate anybody. So I was just like, I'm just going to talk about whatever the fuck pops in my head on stuff. And I just started, you know, doing medical stuff. I have my cousin come on who's a chiropractor. I have on these authors who are doctors. You know, and I'm really into the medical field. I really love learning stuff that's happening in pharmaceuticals and in the medical industry and with doctors and things like that. Because in America, we get fucking screwed so much by the medical industry. They screw you over. They keep you kind of healthy just so you continue to keep coming back and putting money in it. It's a big scam to make money, you know. Yeah. And when I find doctors who are anti-Western medicine, who don't believe in that shit, who really want to get to the root of the problem, what's making you sick, what's making you ill, and they tell me, hey, my goal is to never have to see you again. I'd like to see a real doctor tell me that. Like, not saying that, what I mean is like an everyday doctor that you're going to see if you go to the hospital here, because those guys just lie to you and fucking want to give you medication, and next thing you know, you're fucking psychotic and you're blowing your head off. Or your liver's shutting down. You all to
freaking get like my brother cancer. Black lungs. Like, so if you ever watch my shit, or when, you know, eventually people will start seeing more of my shit, because I'm getting a show on Censored TV myself, but I've been sending in art clips, right? And I've got my brother Black Lungs is on the camera. So this cunt, like, he broke his back concreting. We finally got him surgery. He's all fixed up, but then he just, like, mentally, he was just like, I thought I'd mentally be all good after my surgery, and he just went bang, sent him to a mental institution. They've pumped him up full of all these fucking drugs, right? And like, they don't actually help. They don't actually try to help these people when they get like mentally fucked up. Like, they just give him more and more drugs, more drugs. Just the fucking, and like, fuck, man. The last Friday we went out filming, we shot 3 episodes, and the camera's like this. Cause like Black Lungs is, he was off his face on like 3 different fucking psychotic medications. He's like, I was like, are you fucking smashed off your face, cunt? I'm like, hold the fucking camera. And like, we didn't have the tripod because I was like, ah, fuck it, you'll be right, you're just holding like a fucking little camera, you know, you'll be right. And then I'm rewatching the footage, and you know when you film shit, man, it's like I rewatch it when I get home, and you interview a cunt or you talk to someone, and it's, you're never going to have that opportunity again. It's done.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's gone.
You lose that.
It's gone. And I'm like this, bro. The camera's like this. I'll be like, yeah, fucking blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like.
It reminds me of that movie UHF. I don't know if you ever saw it. It's a movie about this like weird show that, or Weird Al Yankovic owns this like random ass, like radio station, TV station. It's like a UHF channel. And the cameraman he hires is this midget. And he's got this giant fucking lady from Brooklyn with a thick New York accent. And then the little midget guy's running around trying to fucking film the whole time. And all you see is it's like a camera shot of her ass as she's reporting all the time. Or like her fucking crotch area, because that's as fucking high up as he can get because he's so fucking short.
That's what the Dusty Bogan is, bro. It's just fucking, I'm like, I told Ryan, I'm like, now remember when you tell Gavin to watch this, there's like the Dusty Bogan is connected to this whole story of my fucked brother who the cameraman is. It's tied in. Like, give me some grace here, people, because it's going to take I'm like mentoring Black Lungs back into fucking mental health. Because like you said, Biggs, like you need something to hook your teeth into, right?
Yeah.
And Black Lungs, we went out for fucking 4 days of filming, right? And he's like, that's the best I've felt in a year, man, because I had him up. And we're like, we're doing this. And I'm like, here's the fucking clipboard, bro. Write down. This is what you're doing. Think about me. And if I'm like, blah, 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 these cunts over there, I'm like, you got to pan over to them, bro. You got to pan. Get me, this cunt, in the shot and the fucking stupid commie cunts. I want him in the shot. It's and I rewatch it and I'm like, you've got me, this cunt, and a brick wall, and there's all this shit going on, and we got none of it.
I've been filming now for 6 years, and I've only had two good camera guys. It's hard to find people. It's literally an art to understand, to have that mindset of shooting something cinematic to when you watch a video. Like, I can watch a movie, and I look at the shots. I go, man, those are smooth shots. Like, that looks amazing. Like, how they did that or ran the fucking camera through the top of the oats so you can see it going over the lens, and it's just like really poetic and like beautiful. Like, you don't even need people talking or anything like that. You just need to see that cool shot with like some, you know, badass little fucking music thing going. Like, it's an art, and a lot of people out there are just not artistic, and that's just the thing that sucks. Like, it's hard. It can be very frustrating. Trust me. I'd be like, hey man, let me get some of the guys out here to help me. And I actually was able to get one of the guys around here, Nate. He helped. He did actually a really good job. But it's hard to find people that can see things like that. Like, to be a photographer, you've got to see something that's not there, that everyone else is bypassing. Like, it's something that you have, this special gift that you can see it over everyone else. And then when you see it after that picture's been taken or that video's been shot, it's fucking pure magic, you know? So it's a struggle, man. I get you.
We went to this fucking protest. We have like a refugee center, right? And these cunts are like, there's refugees fucking hanging out the side of the building. And they're like, yeah, let me in your country, open borders. And all these lefty cunts are out there like, I'm a fuckhead, being dickheads, right? So me and Black Lungs rock up. And I love that name.
So why is he Black Lungs?
Oh, he's a fucking chain smoker, bro. He'll light up. He'd be like, yeah man, I got to bring him on, man. I'll bring him on the show. And, like, he'll just be like, bang, lights up a durry, sucking down a fucking smoke, and he, like, whips the packet out, grabs another durry, lights it off the old one, and keeps smoking.
Like, yeah, I worked with Dave Chappelle twice.
He doesn't want to breathe oxygen in. He doesn't, Black Lungs doesn't want to breathe air in. Oxygen is not a thing that he like wants. And then like the cunt is like this, bro. The way I'm getting him, right? This is how I'm finally.
Did he already have like a raspy voice?
Oh, he speaks through his nose. His throat's so fucked. He'd be like, yeah, man. He just speaks through the nose now, like a gay. It's like, or something weird like that, you know? But he's like dead set, man. So what I've been doing, I'll be like, he'll ring me up and he'll be like, oh, Dusty, I need $50. I need a pack of smokes. And I just say, like, I'm buying you a pack of smokes. I'm at the shops. I'm buying you a pack of smokes right now. Come pick them up. Right. And I'll be like, I'll buy him a $50 packet of cigarettes. And I'll be like, now
$50 for a fucking pack of cigarettes.
It's fucking expensive, bro. It's so expensive over here. Maybe 50, I don't know. Maybe 50 cigarettes are like $40 or something. Right. Dead set. And I'll say to Black Lungs, I'll be like, here's your smokes. Now you work for me for $10 an hour. You owe me 5 hours of filming time. That's how I'm doing this, man.
There you go.
That's how I'm doing it. And it's
that's like prison rules right there.
I'm playing the game, and eventually, like, I swear to God, I've made like fucking 8 episodes or 10 episodes. They're in the Dropbox. They're ready to rock and roll for Censored TV. And when you watch it, it might take another 5 episodes or it might take another 10 episodes before the camera work gets half decent. So give me some grace here, people. But I think you'll love Black Lungs because he's a fucking character, eh? Like, he'll just be like this. He'll be filming me talk to some cunt. And then I'm talking to the dude, and I look over, and he's just like holding the camera out here, like having a smoke, like watching like a fucking
get bird. That motherfucker a tripod.
He'll watch like a seagull walk past, and he'd just be like, and I'd be like, listen, like, come.
I got a friend like that. I mean, that dude gets so distracted. I'll be sitting there in a fucking street brawl, man, getting my ass whipped by like 20 dudes, and a fucking butterfly will go by, and this motherfucker will just like, and he's giant, like, not even helping me. He's like, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
And all you hear in the back goes, whap, whap. Oh, shit, I can't fucking see. You know, help me. He's like, huh?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, God. Well,
like, Black Lungs, but this is the thing too. He gets lippy. He gets real lippy. So I'll be like, you know, you'd be like, 3-4 of you, and there's like 50-100 cunts protesting, and then he'll start abusing them and calling them dumb cunts. You're a bunch of fucking dumb cunts. He's not even politically minded. Like, if I wasn't there, he would probably be like, fuck yeah, and start picketing with them. Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't give a fuck about any of this. He does not care. You know what I mean? But he'll think like, oh yeah, we're here to make these people look stupid or something. So he'll start abusing, and I'll be like, shut the fuck up, cunt. We don't even have one interview yet. These people are not going to fucking talk to us. You know what I mean? These are the battles of the bogans, mate. This is what I have to deal with down here. And this is the most fucked thing about all these lefty cunts, right? Where they're like, free money, give them free shit. You could give Black Lungs $1 million and he's just going to fucking puff it up and smoke, man. It's just going to fucking disappear. You give that cunt $100,000 a year, tax government money, he's just going to puff it up and smoke. It's just going to fucking disappear. There ain't going to be nothing left of all that fucking sweet money you want to give him. So I just tell these lefties, I've had the lefties arguing with me on my Telegram, and then I'll just start filming on Telegram, and I'll just be like, you telling me giving cunts free money is going to solve it? Look at this cunt. Look at him. And I'll just have Black Lungs would just be sitting there smoking a durry. He'd just be like this. And I'll be like, it's not going to fucking fix
a durry. Is that a brand or something?
What's that?
A durry?
Oh, a durry is just like a, I guess, an Aussie slang for a cigarette. For smoke. Yeah. Yeah. So so Proud Boys, now you've been, tell me about fucking Kyle Chapman. Do you speak to Kyle Chapman at all or not really?
Yeah, I talked to him a couple months ago. I know he just moved out of California. He's in a better place, kind of, you know. And he's doing good. He's laying low.
Because I found him to be really inspirational. Like, to be honest, when I found the club, I think I was watching Bass Stickman, and he's just like smashing cunts with his stick. And then it was like watching him. I was watching him, and then it was like, oh, who are these cunts in the black and yellow? And then it's like, and then I'm like, oh shit, Proud Boys. Okay. Here we go. And then, like, I tried to join the Alt Knights. Like, I wanted to join the Alt Knights. I'm like, this cunt's fucking mad. And then I'm like, oh, Proud Boys, yo, I'm looking up Alt Knights on, this is back in Facebook days. I couldn't find it, but I could find the Proud Boys. So I'm like, sign me up, motherfucker. I'm doing my first degree. Bang. You know what I mean? So I would have to thank Kyle Chapman, Bass Stickman. He's a fucking, I was like, this dude's awesome.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's definitely, he's definitely going to have your back in any situation.
Yeah. And I know, like, people turned on him, or maybe he did some stupid shit in the club. I don't really get involved too much. I know people gave him shit, and I would always say to him, like, he's like the heroic champion in a movie. Like, he's larger than life. He became bigger, a bigger personality that, like, people needed to be inspired. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes yeah. just need – it's like watching the wrestling – and you see this cunt who's like fucking Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And it's like, you know, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, what he represents is like Americana. You know what I mean? So he's larger than life. And it doesn't matter what Hollywood Hulk Hogan does in the real world. He can do some dumb shit. And I'm just like, nah, you can't take Hollywood as he's fucking chiseled into the fucking etched into the history book now. That is what he is, you know what I mean? He's the hero.
Yeah, he's taking time off though. He's got to lay low for a while.
Yeah, and that's all good. That's understandable. I think, like, at the time, he just fucking he showed people something there, you know, something special. Yep. Something that was like inspirational. Yeah. So we're fucking, what do you reckon? You want to wrap it up, Biggs? Are you itching to go? Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I got to roll here in a little bit. But yeah, man, it's been a pleasure. It's been fun.
No worries. Well, you're going to have to fucking hook me up. I would love to get onto some of these other Proud Boys and characters. You're going to have to tee me up. Get into Kyle Chapman's ear and just be like, there's this guy who wants to talk to you with a blue hat.
Yeah, I'll text him.
Fucking oath. I reckon he's a top bloke. I'd love to chew his ear off and have a chat to the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And well done. I hope that, like, of course, Portland is going to happen. And I feel like it's going to be all good, man. I reckon you're the right guy to steer that ship. You know what I mean? To make sure that it gets done right.
It's definitely not just me. It's me and Enrique Mateo, who's the main guy out there in Portland, and Rufio. The four of us really plan a lot of this stuff. And then we get the rest of the leadership involved and go everything with them. We try to keep it small at first, and then we start moving that information down slowly. That way there's no leaks or anything like that. And then that's how we keep everybody on the right track. And then we put out a lot of pertinent information the day of. That way nothing gets out, and to give our enemy, you know, a leg up and what's going to happen in that day. But it's just a lot of hard work. There's a lot of planning, and these guys are really fucking dedicated. They're amazing human beings. Enrique is always on the phone and write emails and, you know, getting shit done. You know, I'll be working with law enforcement and stuff like that to help, you know, give them an idea of what our intentions are to keep them calm, you know. And, you know, the rest of the guys are working with logistics and things like that, you know, helping plan the areas to go to because they live over that way. So it's a good team, and it's been working so far. The events we've done have been very good, and I'm ready to put on another successful thing. Like I said, the intent is to draw enough attention to this that they do their job. Right now, we're going on like 90-plus days of just lawlessness, and the shit needs to stop.
Fucking oath. I was thinking, like, you could always do like a you got to have some people rocking up with like Kanye 2020 and just be like, we're here for Kanye, fuck you, you know what I mean? Like, throw them off. You're like, they're actually to back the fucking one black dude running in the mix, and they'll just be like, fuck you, we hate Kanye. You'd be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember when Kanye West came out with that, his newer album. It was like a couple years ago, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's called Bipolar, I think. And that record would come on, or I would play it on Touch Tunes or something, and it'd go through the bar, and you'd see all those fucking feminist bitches in there. Ah, turn this fucking piece of shit off. He's a fucking racist. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're fucking white. Shut the fuck up. You're sitting there bitching about this guy, and you go to Black Lives Matter protests. You're fucking retard. She's like, this fucking N-word motherfucker. And I'm like, God damn, lady.
You should, like, go in there, bro, and, like, just go into the heart of Portland, create like a giant circle, and then just like reenact the Predator handshake and just get some like Jack Black Proud Boy and some Jack White Proud Boy and just be like reenact the fucking Dutch and Dylan handshake and be like, we done what we were here to do, motherfucker.
Well, it'll just be me and Rufio and I'll paint myself black.
Fucking oh. It's gotta be like funny, bro. It's gotta have some kind of Americana. Like there's this spirit of Americana, like in the Predator movies and all these movies, like even in Australia, we look up to this shit and we're like, yeah, fucking oath. Like, you know, we don't. It's got to be like, it's like some cunts dressed as fucking Danny Glover and Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon and fucking all these like cunts. You got to do it, bro. Yeah. Someone, you got Dutch and Dylan and fucking, you know, just reenact a few scenes, bro. Just be like, we're going.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be enough scenes that'll be turned into and then propaganda for the years to come.
Fucking oath. I got faith in you, bro, and I really believe in you guys. I'm praying for you, and I just believe. I really believe. I got confidence, man, that this is gonna be a fucking win. This will be a win for America. Everything's gonna be fine. I reckon there's patriots out there. We're in this together. We're backing each other up. You know what I mean? We're believing. All right, brother. God bless you. Thanks, Biggs.
Thanks, man.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. God bless you. Cheers. Bang.